What's up, you guys? Sean Rossap, Fightful.com, FightfulSelect.com. I am doing my NXT TakeOver In Your House review. A little update on why. It's because I will be on the Triple H NXT post-media call, or post-call for the media, rather, immediately following the show. Warren and Alex are doing their review, but I saw this as an opportunity to give you guys an extra show, a little bit more for your money, so here I am and doing it. It's NXT In Your House. I love that they brought this back. I was excited about it from the moment that I heard it, and the build-up did nothing to quell that excitement that I had. From the intro, first off, I was so happy they brought in Todd Pettengill for this, but even for the lead-up, I was very happy. I had tried to interview him to promote this show, but couldn't get in contact, and now it kind of makes sense why they had him for a little bit of a surprise there. So I have plenty to say about the intro. I loved the very first opening where they went to the NXT image and said, "For over 5.5 years, the revolutionary sport, force in sports entertainment." Now, I know a lot of you are too young to remember this, and hey, it was 25 years ago. But in 95, 96, they had a logo that wasn't that similar, but it was a 3D logo, and quite frankly, weren't a lot of those back then. And you would, I think it was Todd Pettengill that would come on and say, "The World Wrestling Federation, for over 50 years, the revolutionary force in sports entertainment." So that was very cool for me to see. That was nostalgic in all the right ways for me. And like I said, whether it be Starrcade, whether it be Bash the Beach, I'm happy about some of these nostalgic events coming back. Use the name value associated with it. Todd teases giving away a house, but that is not happening. I heard that they actually had to build the new house set because apparently they didn't have the old one still. But it looked awesome. It looked incredible. You had the door there. You had the outside of the actual house. So cool. So cool. This followed up with a Code Orange performance to kind of update the world on NXT and show you the change. Later on, they had an ice cream bar commercial, which really you didn't see a lot of in the In Your House days. But they did sort of parody the Lord Alfred Hayes promotional consideration is paid for by the following spot, which I really liked. I really think they should have just used the old archive footage for that. It would have been a nice touch. Tegan Nox, Shotzi Blackheart, and Mia Yim defeated Dakota Kai, Raquel Gonzalez, and Candice LeRae. This was a fun one. They all ended up outside. Raquel caught Shotzi in the middle of a tope and suplexed her. Really good spot. Raquel was booked really, really well and protected in the right spots and highlighted in the right spots. If I were to catch one of them, it'd probably be Mia Yim. I swear she could do that suicide dive without hitting the ropes because she just kind of, she leans out and she just yanks herself through, which a lot of people can't really pull off. And it's for some people and other people don't like it, but I think if she can do it, why not? Tegan does a molly go round onto the pile. I do not like the pile spot. Shotzi's work with Candice I thought was particularly good. We saw a cattle mutilation in the ring. I love a good dragon suplex, and Mia Yim does one. There was a spot where Mia Yim went for Eat Defeat, and I love Eat Defeat, but I really love the reversal. So because Mia had the short arm, Candice threw Mia's leg over her arms, and she basically had a pump handle, high crotch pump handle, and then did a suplex overhead. It was really, really good. Candice LeRae, clearly the one that they trusted in particular to work with anybody and everybody. But at the same time, I thought that Raquel was booked very, very well. And as a result, so was Dakota Kai. I would like to see Dakota Kai pick up some more wins, to be honest with you. Seems like she's getting beaten off a lot. Maybe it's just the eye of the beholder of somebody who's got to watch both Wednesday shows at the same time, but she ended up eating the pin. Now, LeRae and Mia Yim brawled away, so it became a tag match. It became Shotzi and Tegan against Raquel and Dakota, and Tegan ended up getting that win. They've been feuding for 7 months now. 7 months, but this was a really good pace, a good way to get Mia and Candice out, and a good way of booking Raquel. This NXT Women's Division, once you start to get a little more character out of these women, and that's not out of these women, once you start to get a little more for them, creative has to be behind them, I think these any number of these six could really, really take off. And you're starting to see that. You're starting to see more vignettes. You're starting to see some at-home stuff. Of course, Dakota and Raquel have had that edge for quite a while. So I think that they're doing really good. Then we go to Damian Priest dropping one to Finn Balor. And oh boy, did we ever go to that match. If you heard my preview or me talking about this ahead of time, I thought Balor and Priest could steal the show. Don't know if it stole the show, but it didn't disappoint. I gave this an 8 out of 10 of my ratings, and that does not happen very often, my friends. I love this match. I do not know how Damian Priest is not everything that Vince McMahon wants out of a big man. I do not know why Damian Priest right now isn't up in the Baron Corbin spot. And if he's not in the Baron Corbin spot, he should probably be teaming with Baron Corbin. And you've got a big, badass team there that can probably reestablish Baron Corbin in a lot of ways. This match ruled, and specifically, Damian Priest rules. Finn Balor went right at Priest, ended up getting slammed onto the apron. Priest detached the stairs, got on top of the stairs, then did the side slam on the apron. It was really, really good. They used environmental offense better than anybody I've seen recently. Damian Priest, awesome back elbow, awesome flatliner, just really good work. He's just so good. He's like 6'5", 250. I mean, up there in age, sure, he's 38, but these days in wrestling, doesn't mean a damn thing. Doesn't mean a damn thing. I did find some humor in him doing what I call the Corbin special number 3, because it's not the end of days. It's not the deep six. It's the old dreaded half Nelson crossface. Oh boy, the half Nelson crossface. He didn't leave it on half as long as Corbin does, though. But the broken arrow, another move that I love. I love the Falcon Arrow. So Priest doing one where he launches the guy, I love it. Balor did a filthy stomp, and it was good because Priest kept going for the Razor's Edge over and over and over again. He went like 1 for 4 in attempts, and I love that he kept going for it. He got one on the apron, but then when he went for one, Balor was like, nah, and stomped him. Really just dove one into the heart of Damian Priest. The chemistry here is off the charts. Priest does a Trouble in Paradise that looks like $1 million, ends up on the top rope, does an awesome choke slam that looks like $1 million. Then he goes for another Razor's Edge. But this time, it wasn't really a Razor's Edge. It was an Awesome Bomb. For those of you not familiar, because I know I do have some younger viewers, Mike Awesome of ECW fame, spent some time in WCW and WWE. He would do a Razor's Edge over the top rope. And all of his moves were called the Awesome Bomb, but that one is most affectionately known as the Awesome Bomb. So Damian Priest was going to do that on the stairs, and Balor was like, nope, ended up knocking him onto them. It was dirty. There's a couple of coup de grace that ended up getting the win. One when Priest was doubled over, another one just straight up on the floor. This was so good. This was awesome. It was a very quick match, and I don't know how long it was. If it was under 10 minutes, Damian Priest might be the first person that I've ever given 8 out of 10s to for matches that were under 10 minutes. Because a lot of times you can't tell a story like that, but they did. They told a story, and they did it in a sprint. And this is the other time that that happened was Final Battle with Punishment Martinez taking on Marty Scurll. I thought it was nothing short of outstanding. I was so happy for this match. So happy that it met expectations and it was as great as I had hoped it was. Damian Priest needs to be on SmackDown or Raw ASAP. Keith Lee, Johnny Gargano up next for the North American Championship. Keith Lee wearing Black Lives Matter gear. I'm working on getting some more news on that because I had heard a story about that before we went on the air. From what I understand, Mia Yim had planned on wearing it too, but something ended up happening that prevented her from doing that. But Keith Lee caught Gargano with a powerbomb outside after what I thought was kind of a funny speed series. Like, you're not going to convince me that Keith Lee is as fast as Johnny Gargano. And while I believe that he is incredibly athletic, I am not going to believe that he is as fast as Johnny Gargano. But they go up to the set, and there was a doorbell camera on the door. That was amazing. That was such a good spot. As was Johnny Gargano repeatedly working over the hand of Keith Lee all through the match. And when you're when you got that kind of a size difference, you work the hand, you work a limb like that, and it really paid dividends for this match, I thought. He pulled out a flying armbar, Lee lifted him up. The crowd really helped this as well, the plants that the WWE had there. They were singing that Gargano sucked to John Cena's theme, to Darth Vader's theme. There was a really awesome spot where Keith Lee is going to get back into the ring, and he grabs the rope, but Johnny Gargano kicks it and then does a suicide dive, tornado DDT. It was awesome, but he couldn't get Lee back into the ring because Lee is too big. Lee ended up pouncing Gargano through the plexiglass. Such a cool spot. You had to know that that kind of spot was coming. Candice LeRae would come out to help Johnny Gargano, but Mia Yim followed. They were in different gear, so obviously they hadn't been fighting the entire night. Johnny stabbed Lee in the eye and kicked him repeatedly, couldn't get the win. So Keith Lee went into what I thought was a good finish. He went for the seated last ride, another powerbomb, and then he finished him off with his Ground Zero, Supernova, Big Bang Catastrophe, whatever the hell you want to call it. Just a ton of different names for that one. This was good stuff. I really enjoyed it. Some good story behind it. And Keith Lee making a good statement inside and outside of the ring. I'm just glad to see something different and some, like, not the same old matches over and over and over again. I do wish that bigger guys could be booked accordingly, because it does seem like there's a little too much back and forth and stuff like this, but I do like that Johnny Gargano had to attack the hand. He did work a smaller guy style here. This was very good. And as I noticed, Mia Yim did wear Black Lives Matters inspired shirt when she came out for this match. Up next is the back lot brawl for the NXT Championship, Adam Cole. Now, it was interesting because this match was actually filmed before Adam Cole reached the one-year mark as champion. But it doesn't matter. He's held that title for over a year anyway because he emerges victorious. And really, with all the stuff that's come out, possibly true, possibly not true about Velveteen Dream of late, you can't really go with him. The track record just isn't there. As great of a performer as he is, Adam Cole is reliable and he's over and he's a great performer. All that rolled into one. So this was filmed on the set behind Full Sail University, as we had reported here on Fightful Select a while back. When I went to NXT about 2.5 years ago, I ate at a barbecue joint around the corner or somewhere near that. And my wife and I were just going to walk to Full Sail University from there. And I accidentally took like a wrong turn walking and ended up on this set. And I walked by, I walked by one of the talent and she said to me, "I know you're not supposed to be back here." So we had a laugh about that, and then fortunately I was able to find my way around thanks to some help from a friend, but it rained crazy, like crazy, all week that they filmed this match, and they didn't get to tape it until after midnight. Until after midnight. They were there for hours before this ended up happening, and this match, it kind of shows you that the cinematic aspect isn't always there. This was primarily a ton of brawling, and it didn't really have my interest all the way through until Undisputed Era showed up. There was a good spot early where Adam Cole tried to leave and Dream bashed a car with a bat, and I looked at that and I said, what a rib. If you all missed it, Velveteen Dream was accused of smashing a car window last year. We didn't find this out until late April, because as I was looking for some information on Velveteen Dream, I came across an arrest affidavit from late last year, and eventually the charges were dropped, or the person didn't pursue it, rather, because leading up to this, it was said that he was caught on camera doing this and riding off in his car. The full story's unfightful. I don't need to get into that. But the allegation said that Dream showed up and just punched a window out or beat a window out. So to see him going going at Adam Cole's car with a bat, it was funny. I got a chuckle out of it. I don't know if it was a rib. I don't know if it was an ode or if it was just a coincidence. But I did giggle a little bit. But this is mainly brawling until they're all on a ladder. An Undisputed Era, still without Kyle O'Reilly, show up. And they attack Velveteen Dream. But Dexter Lumis is there. I would have never thought 4 or 5 years ago that Sam Shaw would be a big player in NXT. But I'm glad he is because it's working out. The name, I'm like, whatever. But he ends up kidnapping Undisputed Era. And the action goes back into the ring. Now, to set the stage, this is all at night on a set behind NXT's Full Sail University with cars surrounding the ring. They get back into the ring, and Cole goes for a Panama Sunrise, but Dream catches him with a Dream Driver and sits Cole on a chair and does a flying elbow, but only gets two. It looks like Dream's in control. Cole hits a nut shot and a Panama Sunrise on chairs and gets the win. You just couldn't put that title on Dream right now with that. With some of the trouble he's been in over the last few years and a little more than most know even. But hopefully that all gets squared away eventually because he is a phenomenal performer. This match just didn't hit it for me. I had the six-woman tag at a 6 out of 10, which is recommended viewing. Balor and Priest at an 8 out of 10. Lee and Gargano at a 6.75 out of 10. Anything 6 out of 10 and above, I'm like, recommended viewing. And this was going to be almost no matter what because of the nature of the filming and how different it was. But as we saw with maybe even Ciampa and Gargano, a lot of people didn't like that. I liked it just fine. But these aren't always a home run, these cinematic, heavily produced matches. Again, please check my ratings guide before you say, oh my God, 6 out of 10. 6 out of 10 is really good on my scale. It's not indicative of any star rating. I'm not saying 3 stars. Everything starts off at a 5 for me, and it takes a lot to go below a 5. It's got to suck pretty bad, or blow a bunch of spots, or just not look good for it to even fall below that. And if it hits 6, that's when I'm like, yeah, you should probably check out this match. Through all the good stuff that's on TV right now. But Adam Cole retains. Velveteen Dream can never get a title shot as long as Adam Cole is champion. So that effectively removes him from the title picture. Up next, we got Karrion Kross squashing Tommaso Ciampa. With the exception of a Widow's Bell DDT, this was all Karrion Kross. And this is how I think it had to be. What is Ciampa going to gain from winning this match? What's he going to gain from 50-50ing this match? And I should say, it's not 50-50 booking, but the offense being 50-50, and then him losing. Probably not that much. What would Karrion Kross gain out of that? Well, he'd gain a win, so that's cool. But he gains an awful lot more by choke-tossing Ciampa into the apron, by hitting the Doomsday Saito and just heaving Ciampa around. He did an awesome inverted F5. He just threw Ciampa just all around the place. It was so good. And then the cross jacket chokes out Ciampa. What more can I say? I thought this was really, really good booking. Really good booking. Cross needed a big definitive win, and this deviated from the typical booking of NXT that we see so often. We don't usually see this type of thing. Very cool. Very cool. It made Cross look like a main eventer. A big main eventer. And they needed that. They need somebody to step up. They're losing Riddle. They're losing Dijak. They're losing some people. So that they had to do this. In between this match and the main event, we see Robert Stone, who has just lost Chelsea Green as a client, seemingly drunk and depressed, stumbling around. Good. Get him on TV. Why not? Why not? But main event, Rhea Ripley, Io Shirai, Charlotte Flair. I'm glad this main evented. Io Shirai becomes NXT Women's Champion. She stands tall at the end of the show. This was a very good match. Charlotte took control, and she was cocky. It was weird to see someone, even though it's Charlotte, and I've seen her in the ring with Rhea Ripley before, it's weird to see someone make Rhea Ripley look small or even normal to some degree. It was a really action-packed match, too. Shirai and Rhea were battling it out, and Mauro made a Gegard Mousasi, Jacare Souza reference that, for sure, only I understood. I don't think that anybody that subscribes to this service probably knows what he's talking about, but he's referencing an up kick there. Charlotte got a double spear but couldn't get the win. She was very clearly the centerpiece of this match, and she probably should have been, because she's going to elevate both of these women to superstardom. But Shirai got a bullet train on Ripley, and Charlotte did a natural selection, and I thought that was it. I thought that maybe Charlotte would end up getting that win, but it just felt like Io Shirai's night. She did this great suicide dive on Ripley. They set up a huge dive. Charlotte and Rhea had battled onto the set. Nobody went through the window or anything, but Io jumped off the house onto both women. A beautiful spot. Gronk had to be talked into a dive that was maybe one-tenth the distance of this. And it took them hours to do that. Amazing. A beautiful spot. That's going to be remembered forever, that jump. Ripley ended up hitting Riptide off the top rope onto Charlotte, but Io broke up the pin. Ripley has that great gorilla clutch, that hanging toe hold, the prism trap on Io, but Charlotte came in with a kendo stick and wore everybody out. A spear and a figure four get put on Rhea, and then Io wins with a moonsault, but it was an ugly-ass moonsault. Not an ugly moonsault, but landing on Rhea Ripley's head, oh, man, that was a rough one. That was a rough one. I'm told that as she came through the curtain, she was okay, so that's good news. But Io Shirai, the NXT Women's Champion, it was her time, it was her night. It should have happened like this. They did the streamers, the big celebration. It was beautiful. You know, despite the odd ending, this is good. And this effectively removes Charlotte from NXT. She can't just be there, can't just hang around. You don't go here. So unless she's getting traded or something like that, she's got to be back on Raw. Take her back to Raw, get rid of that dumbass brand-to-brand invitation gimmick. It's Io Shirai's time. This was a very fun NXT. Less than 2.5 hours. Bless NXT. Less than 2.5 hours? Give me that. Give me all of that. Less than 2.5 hours. Damn. I'll do that every weekend if that's how they want to do pay-per-views. This I can get behind. The thing is, I didn't leave wanting more. I didn't leave feeling like I was gypped. I left feeling like this was a good show that I just watched. And that's what I want out of a wrestling show. That's what I want out of a pay-per-view. I don't want to leave a show feeling exhausted. I don't want to leave an event like this feeling like, oh man, it's finally over. There wasn't really a match where I was like, okay, they got to come down from that. A good NXT TakeOver event. I loved this. I loved this. It was a really fun show. I still think that Balor versus Damian Priest was match of the night, but that main event was a badass. Badass. That's my review, guys. I am off to talk to Triple H. Till next time, guys. We're out.